All right, this morning we start in Matthew chapter 12, and we started here last week as we considered the topic of what fills Christ's heart, or what is in Christ's heart. And this is part of our ongoing lesson on that I may know him, right? And we saw from this passage, specifically verse 35, right? He says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. Verse 34, right at the end of that, he says, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, right? So this is in relationship to the mouth and the heart, okay? And so we said if we want to understand and examine the heart of Christ, we would need to examine and understand the words of Christ, right? Because the words reveal what is in the heart. And we looked last week specifically at 2 Timothy 3:16 as a way to understand the words of Christ into what they would reveal about the heart of Christ, right? And we found that his words were profitable, that they were full of doctrine, of reproof, of correction, of instruction in righteousness. And we saw that those aligned very closely with indeed, the heart of Christ, and revealed to us parts of the heart of Christ. One of the verses that we read last week, and I commented on it, is found in verse number 36. But I say unto you, this is Christ speaking, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And it always, and I mentioned this last week, always strikes a little bit of fear in my heart when I read those words. And it should for all of us. And this week, what I want to do is I think you really start the contrast of Christ's words and Christ's heart in compared to ours. And I think by looking at both the function of the heart, how we can control our heart on our level will also give us some revelation about Christ and who Christ is. Okay, so we're gonna try and navigate through this. The main point of last week, we should have been left with the idea that, boy, my words don't necessarily match up to his words, right? My words aren't the same. There is a enormous delta between Christ's words and my words, and thus Christ's heart and my heart. So how can we start to navigate that? How can we start to move closer into that? Okay? But first, I think we need to understand truly the role of the heart. Look at just over a couple chapters, Matthew 15:19. Matthew 15:19. And what I want to sort of point out in this is how the heart functions. And what is the role of the heart? Matthew 15, in verse 19, it says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies, right? And this is in the context here of Christ, Jesus, teaching his disciples. Specifically, they had asked for additional clarification because the Pharisees were chastising them, or kind of bringing some condemnation against them for eating without washing their hands. And so he was saying to them, hey, it's not the food that goes into your body that's defiling you, right? Rather, it's what's going into your heart. And we know what's going into your heart because it's coming out of your mouth, right? And he goes through this passage and explains that. Well, what's coming out of the heart is proceed evil thoughts and murders. The point here, backed by the verses in Matthew in chapter 12, backed by Proverbs 4:23, right, which we'll look at in a little bit, kind of gives us this synopsis, which is that your heart is your control center, right? It is the control center of every intent, of every thought, of every word, and of every action. Okay, that's sort of the way to think about the heart. It is the control center, the air traffic control center, right? Of every intent, of every thought, of every word, and of every action. Right? So every action you take comes from your heart. Every word you speak comes from your heart. Every thought, it emanates from your heart. Every intent, right? And I'm not going to get into the difference between intents and thoughts, but I think you probably understand that, right? Hebrews 4:12 delineates those two, don't they? He makes a distinction there. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, right? Dividing asunder of the thoughts and what? Intents of the heart, okay? That might speak to a little bit more of desires, okay? It's certainly at like an instinctual level, but it could be things that your heart starts to find some affection around, okay? Could be that idea around intent. And it plays into your thoughts, and it plays into your words, and it plays into your actions, okay? So to understand why this is important, you have to first see that your heart is a control center. Now, it's a hard thing for me, personally, to get to a point where I could say that I'm actually responsible. I'm personally responsible for my thoughts. I'm personally responsible for my words or for my actions, right? Like, these things don't happen to me. I am actually the source of them, all right? Doesn't that make you, it makes me uncomfortable because I'm accountable. I'm then accountable for that. The intents, the thoughts, the words, the actions, okay? The very first thing you have to understand is that they come from your heart. They emanate from you, okay? We will examine this a little bit deeper, but turn with me to Proverbs 4:23, just real quick. And it's a familiar verse. I just want you to see it, to understand it. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Now we'll come back and we'll understand what that word keep means in a little bit. For out of it are the issues of life. And literally in the Hebrew, what this verse, what these words here at the end here, for out of it are the issues of life. It literally has the idea of a spring, okay? The issues. Now, this is the way, obviously, that this was translated, but it's the things that make up you, like who you are, okay? The issues of life. This literally pertains to and is almost an exact reference back to Christ's words, okay? So out of it, out of the abundance of the heart, right, the mouth speaketh. The issues of life, the intents, the thoughts, the words, the actions that make up your life, okay? Spring forward. And the words here, the Hebrew, literally mean to spring forth, okay? The idea of a spring, right, is that you have a reservoir of water that at some point somebody with a big drill, right, drills down into the ground, and at some point taps into that reservoir of water. Now, the spring that is then created or that comes out of there, does it get to say, oh, this is good water or bad water? Like, no, it doesn't dictate what type of water it is. It just says there's water, right? Whatever's in that reservoir is coming out of that spring based upon the pressure that it created, right? That's the way to think about your heart. Your heart is a reservoir. And that reservoir is open through the intents, thoughts, words, and actions of your life. And whatever is in that heart comes out of those things, okay? It's a direct connection. There's no filter. There's no interception. It's coming out. If it's in your heart, it's coming out of your mouth. It's coming out of your actions, okay? Your heart is your control center. Now, in our understanding and study of Christ, you can see the parallel, right? You can see how, okay, if that's true, then I can also see through Christ's words, through Christ's actions, we, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, also have insight into some of his thoughts, don't we? thoughts that even the disciples didn't have. He said, oh, he groaned within himself, right? We see that. Did they, you know, maybe they could have seen that, but that's an internal thing that we are enlightened around. There are other times where we are enlightened around the thoughts of Christ, right? And say there's times where it says he wondered within himself at their unbelief, right? Marveled at their unbelief. There's obviously a lot there. What I want to then look at or to consider here is how then, if that is the role of the heart, how then does the heart function? And certainly it functions like the spring that we discovered. But I want you to look just quickly at Matthew 12:35, and I know we opened with this, but I want you to just see these words in writing. It says, good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. Okay, so go back to this illustration of the reservoir. It's good treasure or it's evil treasure. Right? That is in your heart and is coming out of your life. Okay? So essentially you could say that treasure, another way to think of this, is almost like fuel. Okay? So if your heart is a control center or an engine, it's constantly coming up with these things, then the good treasure or the evil treasure you could correlate to fuel. What are you putting in the tank? It's driving this, right? What is it that's moving your heart in a specific direction? And I think in all of this, we have to realize that we are at a natural disadvantage to holiness, right? Aren't we? Jeremiah 17:9, we all know that verse. The heart is deceitfully wicked, right? So our natural heart is naturally disposed to wickedness, to evil, to that verse in Matthew 15, right? To murders, to blasphemies, to lies, to hatred. Right? That's our natural heart. And so if we are saying, hey, I wanna be more like Christ, I want my heart and my words and my actions to be more like Christ, how do I get there? Right? The first thing is to understand, well, it starts in your heart. And you understand the function now of your heart that is a reservoir, okay? It is whatever is put into my heart is going to come out of my heart. And I think the first, you know, step in that process is to understand that we're naturally disadvantaged. So what do we do, right? What do we do? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5 then. 2 Corinthians 5. And obviously our new heart starts with our salvation. Amen. Our salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He's a new creature. Okay? That creature talks of a complete and utter transformation. And indeed, in Jeremiah, we learn that he replaces our heart. Okay? Heart of flesh. And I believe that what happens at our salvation is that he makes us a new creature. He gives us, helps to essentially cleanse our heart, okay? But, as we all know and are very, very aware on a day-to-day basis, the evil treasure that we spent 15, 20, 30, 40 years putting into our heart doesn't just disappear, does it? It doesn't just make us, make bad words leave our mind or make, evil things that we thought about or participated in just disappear, does it? So what do we do? How do we change that? And that ultimately is the process, is really the definition of the process of sanctification, right? It's literally filling your heart with good treasure. And I kind of equate it to this idea that like your heart can only hold so much. And either it's holding evil treasure or it's holding good treasure. And the more good treasure you put in, the more evil treasure is popped out, right? Overflows, flushed out, cleaned out. You're getting rid of it, okay? How do we do that then? What is the actual practical step to putting good treasure into our heart, if that is truly our intent? And for that, we have to look at Proverbs chapter 4 again. I'm sorry to keep you going back and forth here, but it's important. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And I want to read starting in verse 20. Now we know verse 23 is the key verse here. So I'm going to read this, and then we're going to kind of work backwards. Chapter 4 and verse 20, it says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Okay? Now, I want to start in verse 23, and then we're going to go back to verse 20. Keep thy heart. This is the number one. This is the first step, right? It's the very first step. Keep thy heart with all diligence. The very first thing that you have to do in order to get good treasure into your heart, right, is to, one, be aware of what your heart is and how it functions and the role it plays in your life, and then start to set up guards, or what I would call filters. Okay? Filters. Now, these filters, right, guards on your life, are vitally important, and he emphasizes it, he says, because out of it are the issues, right? Out of it flows your life. Out of your heart comes these things. So it's important for you, right, to keep your heart, to guard your heart, to filter what goes into your heart, okay? And he comes back to this idea of good treasure and evil treasure. And so right now, I'm hoping you're sitting there saying, well, how do I do that? Right, what is it that, how, like, what, how to give me something practical, Andrew, okay? I think we hear a lot of preaching about keep your heart with all diligence. And we say this to our kids, like I know we do. So look at verse 20. He says, "My son, attend to my words." And here it is, "incline thine ear." And then verse 21, "let them not depart from thine eyes." Okay? So we have to understand that there are only two ways to get things into your heart. There are two ways that things enter your heart. They are through your ears, and they are through your eyes. Right? These are gateways to the heart. These are the gateways that are laid out over and over and over again, especially in Proverbs. Right? We, if you sort of think through it, you're going, oh yeah, that's true. Eyes and ears are the gateway to your heart. This is what is critical. Now he starts in verse 20 by saying, what should go into my ears? What should be put into my ears? And he says, "My son, attend to my words." Attend to my words. Look with me at Psalm 119. And I want to just explore this idea of attend for a minute. And I think we probably have a good sense of what it means. Look at verse 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" This is literally the psalmist asking the question, how do I fill my heart with good treasure? This is the question. How do I fill my heart with good treasure? How do I cleanse my way? How do I remove evil treasure and replace it with good treasure? Okay? This is the psalmist asking this question. What's the answer? By taking heed thereto, right? Or you could even say, attending unto my words, isn't it? Very similar structure. Look at verse number 10. He says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." And the first thing, right, we see is that you have to seek. We see that from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6 as well. Seeking, verse number 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart. I'm memorizing God's word. Verse number 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes, right? It's understanding God's word. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth, talking about God's word. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches, right? Being excited as you are about riches, as you are about God's word, right? Placing a worth on God's word. I will meditate in thy precepts, right? Obviously, meditation here of God's word, thinking about God's word, and have respect unto my ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Those eight verses, those seven verses, equal the idea in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20 to attend. Right? If you say, what does it mean to attend? Right? It means to value God's word. It means to memorize God's word. It means to understand God's word. It means to talk about God's word. It means that God's word should be saturating every facet of your life in every way possible. Getting it into your ears over and over and over and over and over again. Now, we today are extremely blessed people, because it's never been easier, right, to get God's words into your ears. It's literally never been easier to do this, okay? Think about even the early settlers of our country who had limited access to printed God's word, and then they had even more limited access to light to read God's word, right? Think about how easy it is for us. It's so easy for us. We have just so many, access to so many printed Bibles. They scatter the shelves of our house, I'm sure, all over, right? We can read them. We have our iPads with access to every reference and Bible study, right? Oh, this verse is in my head. I just can't remember what the reference is. And I type in a couple of words and the verse comes up, right? I use it all the time. There's so many resources today for us. Sermon audio is, right, what we use to broadcast our messages. There's millions. I mean, I don't even know. Millions and millions of messages, right? We have Bible reading apps. We have Bible reading plans. We have all the access. Right? We have access to good, godly music. Okay, these are ways that we can be putting God's word into our ears. Think about how much time in your day is spent where your ears are being filled not by God's word. And the thing is this, is your ears don't stop working. Now, for some of us, and I'm sure you've heard this or even said it yourself, I know I have, right? I'm okay. I can hear this sort of stuff, or I can listen to this stuff, or I can, the people at work, they've got dirty mouths, but like that evil treasure goes into your heart. If it hits your ears, it's in your heart. Okay? You can't avoid it. It's going into your heart. All right? The only way you can possibly avoid it is to counteract it. All right? You've got to be proactive in also putting good treasure into your heart. You have to put good treasure. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely, absolutely. So the ears, right? We see the ears as a very vital, important gate. Second thing, verse 21, Proverbs 4 and verse 21, what does it say there? It says, let them not depart from thine eyes. And he makes a direct correlation here, Solomon does, to the eyes and the heart, where he says, keep them in the midst of thine heart. That is done through your eyes. Your ears and your eyes are the gateway to your heart. this speaks to and plays, I think, the or under, you know, lines the foundational truth that the entertainment of our culture, literally a cancer to our spiritual well-being. I mean, we are a people that are just completely inundated by evil treasure. And just it pours over us. You can't hardly engage in our society without it, right, becoming a part of it. You can't watch the news without it. It's just nonstop. And our young people growing up in this, you know, hyper-connected age have never had more access to more evil. Right? Now, as you folks sit here today, you and your minds in the just the lives that you live could never possibly fathom the depths of darkness that exist two clicks away from your teenager, from your young person, from you yourself. Like, you couldn't even begin to fathom that there was actually things like this happening, right? I don't know. I don't want to delve into that. I think we all know that, right? But it just sits just below the surface of our lives, just below the surface of our culture, and it's pouring into our eyes and it's pouring into our ears. Okay. So the eyes, right, and the ears. Now, we also benefit from a lot of that, right? I think we benefit from access to the internet and these things. But we have to be aware. We have to be aware, okay? I think statistics say 40%, I don't know if it's that high, but I think it's something like that, like 30, 40%. It's a startling number of the makeup of Christian churches today are at least involved with and more than likely addicted to pornography, male, female, right? Both. It's not even technically a gender thing anymore, right? It's widespread. These are the evils that are just right there. And the thing is, we participate in activities that are not, but we allow these things that are slightly less than evil into our ears and into our eyes. And what happens is that just like your money in the bank, there's a compounding interest of evil treasure because your heart's already inclined to it. Your heart is already craving it. It's already, right? Your flesh, the world, it's all designed to operate around that evil treasure and to move. We've got to be so careful. And we have to saturate our lives by attending to the Word of God. We've got to fill our ears with the Word of God. We have to put our eyes on the Word of God. We have to be filling these gates for ourselves, for our children, right? In our church, one another. We've got to be constantly figuring out how to get more into our lives. How do I get more of God's word into my life? How do I memorize it more? How do I think about it more? How do I play it more? How do I access it more and more? Because you've got to counteract the balance, right? You have to figure out how to do that. What I think is most interesting about verse 20 here is the writer of Proverbs stops in verse 20. He starts by saying, "My son." And what's he saying there? He's saying, like, Andrew, right, listen to me. Like, I need your attention, okay? We've all had that conversation with our kids, right? Over here. This part that I'm about to say is really important, okay? Listen to what I'm saying to you. And he says, keep your heart with all diligence. Filter what goes into your ears. Filter what goes into your eyes, right? Because out of those things come the issues of life. Now, if we contrast this understanding now with that of Christ, okay, what filled Christ's eyes and ears that led him to be the person that he was? Because as a human, his heart would have been the control center of his intents and his thoughts and his words and his actions. Okay? He was made up the same way we are. So what was it that filled him, right? Let's look in John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and we know that the Word there is Jesus Christ, right? So in the beginning was the Word. And the Word, Jesus Christ, was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Okay, so here's what this means. Christ, in his deity, as God, spent all of eternity, prior eternity, I don't know what that's called, right? Pre-eternity, before, right? In the very presence of God as God, okay? And when he came to earth, his heart, while free of the sin nature that Adam passed down to us, right? While free of that, his human heart was full, overflowing of the words and thoughts of God himself. Right? He, through the relationship of God and being God, had a heart that was full of the thoughts and words of God. Okay? And so out of that perfect life flowed the words and actions that we have recorded for us in the Word of God today, in the Gospels. Right? We see his actions. We see his words. They came directly from God. And that's what he declares himself, doesn't he? In John 17, he says, I finished the work here. I've given them the words that you told me to give to them. All right? I've completed my task in delivering them to them my words, or your words. His heart was full of the words, right, of God. And he delivered those while on earth. And that is our expectation. That is holiness. That is the standard that God has put forward for us. But I think it changes a little bit, at least it does for me, the perspective of when I read the Gospels and I think about his words and his actions, not just, oh, this is an interesting parable, and oh, that's interesting, right? I read them a lot as just sort of historical accounts, like Napoleon Bonaparte captured Europe, interesting. Jesus healed the blind man, interesting, right? But they're different, aren't they? Those are different things. My mind says, just read it as like a fact and go, okay, that's great, right? But it's not just a fact. What was the heart, like what filled his heart in a way that would cause him to do that, to say those things, right? That's truly what we need to be thinking about, what we need to be discovering, what we need to be working at and meditating on and saying, what is it, Lord? Right? What makes up your heart, and how do I get that good treasure? Where in here, right? Because this is the words of God. Where can I get that? How can I fill my heart with these things, so that I can also act and behave and think, right? Train my heart to operate in this way. The end here, obviously, is simply the contrast between our own heart and our own thoughts and our own words to that of Christ. And I hope today we've learned a little bit about the heart, its role and its function, how we can ultimately control it, and how that contrasts to Christ and what we can learn about him.